Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning into our boardroom chat today. And I tell you what, we're going to turn this baby over to Kathy because she's a mama. And you know, there's a mother and then there's a mama. And I think a mama is better than a mother. Praise God. And it's something about mama. And it's Mother's Day coming up.
It is. This Sunday's Mother's Day. So this week we're celebrating moms. We're going to just talk about a great mother here in the scriptures. And, you know, we have some great moms that watch us every week, I know. And
have you met them? Have you get to meet them?
I mean, I've met many of them.
I know that. It's a blessing. Praise the Lord.
And I'm glad to be a mom, and I appreciate my mother. She's 94, she'll be 95 in the fall. So, you know, it's wonderful that we can celebrate moms today.
Yeah, I got a mama. She's in heaven.
She's in heaven.
But I got a mama.
Well, you call me mama all the time.
I call you mama. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't call you daddy, but no. You call me mama.
That's true. I'm not a dad. I call her mama all the time, you know.
Well,
go ahead and talk, Kathy. Well, I'm throwing this thing in. I'm going to just fill in the cracks.
Well, I just thought we'd read about this woman in Matthew chapter 15. So if you turn there, Jesse, Matthew 15.
I got it, babe.
Okay, I'm going to start with the scripture because this is a woman.
On the edge, where you ought to be.
This is about a woman who would not give up because she sought Jesus to help her with her daughter that was demon-possessed.
Okay.
Matthew 15, verse 21 says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But she answered her not a word. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." So I just love this story because this is one of the two people that Jesus commended and called them, that they had great faith, this woman and then the centurion, and both were Gentiles. And I thought it would be appropriate to talk about this year because our theme is use your faith voice. And
she
definitely was using her faith voice.
Amen.
And she got exactly what she needed for her daughter.
And, you know, we say we have to be there for imitators of God as dear children.
Right.
So would you get mad if I called you a Doug?
Well, you know, I researched this, but the dog thing was like more of a puppy or a family pet,
but
they still got the leftovers. I mean, the dogs appreciate the leftovers. She really was not part of the covenant, but that just shows you how God is so merciful. Even if he came at that point to that, he was trying to train his disciples, in fact.
Right, but what shows me is this woman loved her daughter so much, she was willing to do anything to get that devil off of her.
That's
off
right.
Her
she didn't give up. She
and
was
that's
persistent.
A mama. That
totally
will do
was
everything.
A mama.
Yeah.
It reminded me of a sermon that you preached many years ago, which was titled, All You Need,
All You
is, a
Need
Crumb.
Is a Crumb. It's amazing, you know, how I got that. You know, everybody wants a big piece of something, that, you know, like cornbread or whatever you like. But if you just took one crumb, put it on your tongue, you taste every flavor.
All the ingredients.
That's in whatever they were cooking there. Or baking, whatever. Well, it's the same way with being a mother, you see. All she needs is one crumb of your life, and she knows who you are.
Yeah, you know, it just shows you the importance of persistent faith. The scriptures talk about it. Jesus told the parable of that woman who was persistent and the unjust judge who would not.
Yeah.
And that was God's, his example of how if this unjust judge would give the woman what she wanted, how much more would your Father, who is a loving, gracious God, give you what you need?
That's right. I mean, the Bible said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. That's St. John 14, 12, 13, and 14. Now, think about this here. But sometimes people don't understand what's already been given to them.
That is the truth, and that's the sad part. They're going to God begging for something that he's already given them.
You know how I got saved? Two mamas.
Two mamas.
My mama and Kathy. On me like white on rice. And that's how a mama is.
Yeah.
And a mother, you know, because I think they see things that, quote, and I'm not against a daddy because I'm a daddy, but I think mothers sometimes and mothers, they can't, mamas, whatever you want to call it, They see things sometimes that daddy don't see.
And, you know, even before anyone else, even maybe the child even knows that something's wrong, a mother knows when something's wrong with that child.
That's true.
And so she was really persistent. She wouldn't give up. She saw what the daughter was facing. And they were, of course, living in a heathen culture. And the devil had possessed her daughter. She was grievously tormented. And she didn't just give up and throw her away. She went to the only source that she could find. Now, in this area, this was the same area that Jesus had cast that demon out of the man of Gadara, and he had wanted to follow Jesus.
Demons.
Yeah, it was a legion of demons. It could have been 6,000. Who knows?
That's right.
So that's the story where he cast the demon out and it goes into the hogs and goes over the cliff. The people of that area tell him, get out of town. But the man who was delivered asked Jesus if he could follow him. He says, no, you go back to your town. So I think the word of the power of Jesus had spread in that whole region, and this woman had heard about it. So she had probably tried everything she could to help her daughter, but then she heard about Jesus, and he was in the area. So she did what she could to get to him. And so she went to his disciples. They wouldn't do anything. They weren't compassionate. They said, get rid of her. She's bugging us.
But Jesus, that sounds like a man, don't it?
Some men,
yeah.
But Jesus was compassionate, and her faith was relentless. She would not give up, and I think that's wonderful.
I want to talk about Jesus' mother, and I'm going to get a little controversial right now. Let's see how many letters and cards I get. You know, Jesus had a mama, and her name was Mary. And a lot of times, Protestant people, they don't give Mary a lot of honor at all. And I think you forgot that's Jesus' mother. Now, I know everybody gets mad at Catholic people because Catholic people pray to Mary. And the reason why Catholic people pray to Mary, if you have been raised Catholic, which she was, and myself, is, well, Jesus can never tell his mother no. I was told it was just little boys and all that kind of stuff.
They actually girls, teach whatever. That in the catechism, yeah, which is wrong, of course.
Yeah. No, I don't say pray to her by no means, when you can go to the Father in Jesus' name, but you should honor her. I mean, completely honor her, because I want to tell you something, son. I mean, you got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and Mary. Because you understand something, but me, God didn't need a man. He needed a woman.
And you know,
who had faith that was beyond human reasoning.
That is so true.
And see what I'm saying? So I honor Mary. No, I don't pray to her by no means, and I don't mean that to be critical. I don't pray to any saint. In any way, shape, or form, because I can come boldly to the throne of grace. So in other words, why would you want to go to someone that's a little lower on the totem pole when you can go right into the throne of the Most High God?
Right.
And with your petition and supplication with thanksgiving. Ask anything in my name. He said, and I'll do it. In other words, you don't need an appointment because you've been made the righteousness of God.
That's so good.
But you have to understand something. That Mary is very vitally important in this Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Let me tell you something. I mean, how many people you know had the faith of Mary? I don't know of anybody, I have to say that, like a virgin girl, and she doesn't ask a question of doubt. She said, how can this be since I know not a man? And the Holy Spirit just said the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The angel said the Holy Ghost will come upon you, you conceive a child. And she didn't go, most people would say, well, how that's going to happen? But she said, let it be, even as thou hast said.
That was her seed, and she was using her faith voice for that.
That is correct.
As well.
Yeah.
And you know, I was thinking about it too, when we're talking about Mary, her life is so significant.
Right.
And even at the first miracle that Jesus performed at the wedding of Cana, she gave direction, do whatever he tells you to do.
That's right.
So right now, if she was here, she'd say, do what he yeah. tells you.
But I can
pray
also,
to him.
I can also tell you something about Mary. Mamas get a little mad sometimes at their sons. Jesus was starting to heal the sick, raise the dead, telling everybody in Pharisees, the devil's from hell. She said, bring him home. She said, he has lost his senses. Mary said that.
The family came.
Whoa,
yes,
what's up?
They had an intervention.
Because she she didn't have revelation knowledge like we have today.
She didn't understand.
Because what Jesus was speaking was beyond, quote, Mosaic law.
Well, not just her, the mother and the brothers and sisters.
Oh, yeah, everybody. James was really irritated about it because he was really what I call a law person. I mean, he was really very homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological in his way of thinking. But Jesus was beyond that, see. Jesus was breaking into something that this world in Jesus' generation didn't know, and he was beginning to speak some things that would later be given to the Apostle Paul on revelation knowledge. And man, I mean, I want to tell you something. The family said, bring him out. He has lost his senses. No, what happened is he was calling those things that be not as though they were, using his faith voice, only saying what faith says.
Which reminds me of another sermon that you preach, which is on the app as well. It's called The Insanity of Jesus.
Was Jesus insane?
No, because they said, take him. He's beside himself. He was doing things that were blowing their mind. They couldn't understand it. They had to learn this. Of course, the family later, after the resurrection, all of them were in the upper room. They knew him. James became the leader of the church at Jerusalem, wrote the book of James. So it was a great, great turnaround.
Well, you kind of understand how Jesus could be controversial and not even realizing that in his mind, they said, your mother said, who's my mama? Who's my father? Whoa. People would think that's kind of disrespectful. But he was dealing in a level that a lot of people there did not understand. He was breaking open something that could feed their spirit.
Right.
In other words, he was moving them as fast as he can to what I call salvation.
Right.
See, before their sins were covered and put on a scapegoat and sent out into the desert and stuff like that. But what Jesus was going to do, he was going to die and not only wash their sin away, but expunge the record. So that's why, you know, they didn't quite understand some
they
of those
didn't.
Things.
You know, he was born into a family. That's how he got into the earth, so that he could experience humanity for us as God.
Right.
But then he actually came for the whole family of the earth. That's what Abraham's promise, God's assignment to him. He says, through thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
That's right.
God had a plan from Genesis to bless all the families, and it was manifested through the birth of his son, Jesus. Of course, he walked the earth, and his family didn't understand him, but and a lot of people in his nation didn't understand him.
There's a lot of people today still
don't understand
Jesus.
Him.
I don't doubt. You think Mary went to every meeting she could go to when he was preaching?
Oh,
I know he traveled all over.
I believe that. In fact, she was in the upper room. You know what? Also, she was at the cross, which I think is significant since we're talking about mothers, how important it is. Even when Jesus was on the cross, at that moment when he was being tormented and ridiculed and the sins of the world was being placed upon him, he took the time to look at his mother and say, talk to John. John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son.
Yeah.
He did what, in fact, in that day, the eldest son was responsible for caring for the mother.
Sure.
So he gave that commission to John.
He was concerned about his
mother. The disciple. And history tells us that he kept her till her death.
Right.
And he was through that whole time.
And I'm really concerned sometimes the way some people... especially Protestant people, don't treat Mary correctly. But then let me take it on the other side. I think sometimes the Catholic Church, not being critical, just being truthful, and I'll have to give you a story on that, misinterprets her job and what she was. I'll never forget, I went to an International Believers Convention with Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Gloria Copeland. It was just us then, before Creflo and all of them had got there, Creflo Down and all the other speakers and things. And the Pope, then I think was Pope John Paul II, I think at that time, this is many years ago, while we were at the Birmingham International Believers Convention, Birmingham, England is what I'm talking about, he came out and said this statement, it was in the morning, that Mary was a co-redeemer. Oh, Lord, now if you want to start some trouble, that's not that she was a co-redeemer, because Jesus is the only one that can redeem you of your sins. So it was my night to preach. Now, there was 14, 15,000 people. This thing was huge, you know. And boy, everybody, they were all buzzing.
It was the biggest story in the world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and all that kind of stuff. So I got up, and Jerry Savelle said, Jesse going to say something about this. I know Jesse, man. And I got up, and I said, if there ever was a more finer woman in the world than Mary, I haven't met her. And I always thought well of my mom, and she's all well of your mom.
God said she was blessed among all women.
Oh, God, yes. I said, but ladies and gentlemen, that without being critical, just being truthful, she's not a co-redeemer.
Correct.
And boy, everybody just, it went stone quiet in that big, huge convention center. I said, oh, she's most wonderful. She's highly honored, highly favored. But there's only one redeemer, and that's Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you remember, everybody stood up and started applauding.
Yeah.
I wasn't speaking against the Pope, but I had to correct, and who am I to correct the Pope? Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to correct him. I was correcting how people should think about her.
His words.
I think he loved Mary. And why wouldn't you? That's not it. Some people say Pope John Paul II was a Marian, which means he just really, and that's good. Don't misunderstand me. But you cannot place her in that same position as Jesus Christ, because everybody has to bow.
Including Mary.
And everybody. Right. You see what I'm saying? But I would highly honor her and highly favor it, see. But there's only one Redeemer. Now, some people may get mad at me for saying that, but I didn't say that. God Almighty said that. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and all authority and power is given to him. And everything name has to bow at the name of Jesus. He didn't say that about Peter. He didn't say that about James or John or Paul or Matthias.
Or anyone.
Or even Mary.
Right.
But he said it about Jesus. Correct. So we have to keep these things in perspective. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be hard here because, you know, I'm Christian and confirmed the Catholic. To tell you the truth, even though I've been preaching 50 years in the Protestant way, I'm still a Catholic because they never threw me out. Mm-hmm. I'm still christened and confirmed, you know. My name's still on the roll and things of that nature, you know. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm not against the Catholic Church in any way, shape. I'm against the devil, man. You understand? And I'll give you an example here at Covenant Church where Kathy's the pastor. Now, some people don't like that. Well, that ain't going to change her. Mm-hmm. And it ain't going to change me, and it ain't going to change God. You want to have a theological debate, you can. A debate makes a discussion. A choice makes a decision. A decision makes a choice. So when God gave Kathy that wonderful gift, and she's blessing the church, that's just the way God does what he wants to do. And we just going to have to get along with it, see? And people say, yeah, but the word said, a lot of people have a homiletical or hermeneutical way of looking at scripture, but not necessarily a spiritual way. They may know Greek and Hebrew and they're phenomenal, but to know God, have you ever walked with God? Have you ever walked in such a way with the Lord that you are spirit housed and a soul and clothed in a body? And I want to tell you something. This word of God is God made in print. So what he says about his mama, I'm going to agree with him, see? But we don't worship her. We worship him. Amen. But if we give her high esteem, and I would do that. If the Apostle Paul walked in here, I'd give him high esteem right. All day long. See?
You honor, respect.
Sure. The Bible said, God said, if you honor me, I will honor you. But you have to take this and keep this in perspective of who Jesus really is. And he thought it so important that when he was hurting, beat, slapped to pieces, skin off his back, muscle tissue torn by a cat of nine tail, bone showing, bleeding. He said, John, you take care of my mama. Mm-hmm. So you know what? I think we as, quote, Protestants, if you want to call us that, we need to take care. We take that same command. We take care of any individual that God says, for God so loved the world. We should take care of the world. The world should come to the church. But the problem is the churches went to the world and started trying to do what they do instead of setting the moral standard for the world to see what God
that's
did.
Good.
Do you agree
that's
with that?
That's good preaching. I love that.
Do you like that? So that's a Mother's Day. Now, if you hadn't talked to your mom in a while, you need to call her. You need to talk and give her some flowers or give her something. I don't have much. How about show up? I bet she liked that better than anything you could ever give her. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm trying to say? Now, I see I'm going to be traveling, but Kathy, she's going to see her mama. You know, when my mother's in heaven. But I'm going to tell you this much. Now, you can't prove this is true, and I can't prove it's not, but I bet you the Lord celebrates Mother's Day. Why not? His mama's there. You see what I'm saying? And so I can't wait for that wonderful day when we all stand before the great God Jehovah, my Lord, and see what I call his biological family.
Yeah.
That's going to be wonderful. That's a blessing of the Lord.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to spend time with my mother before Mother's Day because on the Friday and Saturday before Mother's Day, which is coming up. It's actually tonight. Right, this airs on Friday. I'll be in California at Freedom Church in Whittier, California.
What a good
for
name
women's
for a church.
Conference,
Freedom Church, my Lord.
Yeah, and then we'll take off and we'll go to Australia.
Yeah.
We're traveling to Australia.
Jason and Elizabeth Lozano.
Lozano.
You want a good church to go to? I highly recommend
these
people.
It's in the Los Angeles area.
Well, they're in Whittier, California.
I don't know what part of Los Angeles.
Me neither, but I mean, it's there.
You'll find it.
I've been some wonderful people and wonderful pastors. And Kathy's going to be preaching on women's conference. Am I correct?
Yes, I will. And since I'll be out of the church on Sunday, we have Chrissy Cifuentes who'll be doing our Sunday
service. Who is a mama?
At the church for the first time. I'm looking forward to that.
Who is a mama?
I'll be able to listen to it later. I won't be able, we'll be traveling during that time. Yes, yeah. She is a wonderful mother.
Yeah, got a beautiful
a
child.
Young mother.
I remember when she wasn't a mother. She heard me say something and she said, I want a baby. And sure enough, God gave her Sophia.
Amen.
What a blessing of the
Amen.
Lord. And so it's wonderful. And I don't know what it feels like to be a mother. I know what it feels like to be a father, but not a mother. But I think, and to give honor to whom honor is due, I think there's a specialness about a mother. And I can say it this way. You know, I see a lot of people, they talk bad about their daddy. You can say something about their daddy, I don't like him neither. But you better not say nothing bad about their mama, because they'll beat your brains out. See, you don't touch my mama, you see. And I think that's an honorable thing.
You often have said this. It's so beautiful the way you say it, that the first woman that a boy loves is his mama.
I heard Denzel Washington say that.
Yeah.
And I said, I got to say that. And Denzel, if you're watching today, I am so glad you said that. That the first love a boy has is his mama.
His mama.
And that's really true. And then watch this. Man tried to put it down. He's a mama's boy. Well, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say?
And Jesus loved his mother. But he loved the whole world, but he loved the special place in his heart. I'm sure for his mother, she cared for him. You remember years ago we saw, I haven't been able to watch it again, but that movie, The Passion of the Christ, was so powerful, so impacted me. I haven't been, it's such a tenderness when I watch him grow up and the way.
Or when he falls.
The way they created that movie, yes, it was so beautiful.
You remember in that movie, The Passion of Christ, when he was down in that prison, she got down on the ground to hear him. She put her ear on the concrete or the rock or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember that part? I mean, see, that's... Let me tell you something, buddy. Let me just say that if your mother is not here today, maybe in heaven, you understand what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll never forget one time. Your mother, give your mama an honor. She had come to hear you preach on a Mother's Day.
A few years back. Yeah.
And because my mother went home to be with the Lord in 1982 on Easter Sunday. Mama always did love a party, and I don't doubt they was having a party celebrating Resurrection Day. Anyway, I was sitting on the pew, and Irene, Kathy's mother, was sitting right on the side of me. And put your hand right here, Mama. And to make a long story short, you know, I had my hand like this, you know, just on my leg, you know. And Kathy gets up there and starts talking about, she said, and recognize Irene, and this, my mother's here, and of course, everybody applauded and everything like that. And then Kathy said this, you know, maybe your mother's not here today. Maybe there she's in heaven, you know, or has gone home to be with the Lord. And immediately Irene did this, and she held my hand, told me. And it touched me because she knew my mother had gone like that. And I thought, wasn't that so nice to show
compassion,
a mother's compassion?
Yeah, she did
this. And I've never forgotten that. In fact, I don't know if anybody's ever done that in it, anywhere, anything, you know. And but it was a wonderful gesture. I guess that's what you kind of say. Like it was a blessing of the Lord. So a lot of times Kathy will tell me, you know, she'll say, Jesse, you're preaching this morning somewhere. I'm going to drive over and see my mom. And I said, well, spend all day with her. That's fine. And sometimes I get back before her, but most of the time I don't because I'm traveling all over the world, you know, and things of that nature. So we're talking about mothers, and I really believe this, and I want to go back to this, and you may call it controversial, but we need to honor Mary. Now, let me answer a question that's coming in my mind that I believe the Lord would have me answer. What about these visitations of Mary and different things that have happened? Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say this. I ain't got no problem with that. Uh-oh, you got mad at me now? Well, what about I'd love to have a visitation of Paul the Apostle. I wouldn't have no problem with that. You see what I'm saying? How about a visitation of Jesus? I wouldn't have no problem with that. Why? Well, every Sunday morning, if you truly love the Lord, you have a visitation of who he is. Now, I'm not saying worship, because even angels say, don't bow down to me. Nobody ever got mad when an angel showed up. I don't have no problem with a visitation with that. Mm. Do you see my point? You understand what I'm trying to say? You know, we're trying to find something wrong when something should always be right. If an angel of the Lord came to you and you said it, what would be wrong with that? You'd say, man, an angel of the Lord spoke to me today. Oh, what did he say? Well, why couldn't Mary do that? Oh, did I make you mad? Why couldn't the Apostle John do that? I mean, why not? Now, I'm not saying that's happening, but I do know this. Angels show up a lot of times, and nobody ever gets mad about that. So why couldn't God use a person that is in the Scripture? And you can't prove it's true. I can't prove it's not. And I know I'm going to get some ugly letters on it, but I felt led of the Lord to say that. Because let me just make this announcement. That's God's business. That's just simply God's business, and all you got to do is walk in it. What do you think about it?
Well, you know,
if you want to correct me, go ahead.
Well, I'm not going to correct you because I.
Come on. You know. Go ahead.
Are you looking for a fight?
Look at me.
On Mother's Day, I'm going to celebrate. Oh, you call me your mama, and you're going to do that?
Yeah.
No, but I was thinking about the Transfiguration, how we can't limit God, or
Moses. That's good.
But yeah, so at the Transfiguration, Jesus called the select three, Peter, John, and James, to witness this. And
really, it was Peter, James, and John.
What did I say?
He said Peter, John, and James.
What's the difference?
I don't know.
It's all three.
I don't know. Just come on. Go ahead. Yeah, but that's so
help
true.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Jesus.
But so they're there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and of course, Peter had the wrong attitude. He wanted to erect a tabernacle because for Moses and for Elijah that was there and Jesus, as though they were on the same level, but they were not.
No.
So God corrected him. No, don't do that. This is my beloved son. Hear him. God spoke from heaven. They all heard that. So even though there may be a visitation that comes, and we're not going to, I don't understand everything, but God did that then at that point. So you still never elevate them above Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that was example
but
in the
But you
New
just proved what I said. God sent Moses
but
and
they
Elijah.
Don't worship.
No.
Although they tried to. No. In fact, if you go to when we went to the Holy Land many years ago, I think they actually did build something there on that mount.
They
have tabernacles there where God said, don't do it.
But these just prove
because people
what I said.
They pull things out of context.
Yeah.
And they want to worship the wrong thing.
Well, you just proved what I said. God sent an individual that was once on the earth to talk to Jesus. And that was Moses and Elijah. So why can't he send Paul if he wants to? He may not do it. Why can't he send Mary if he wants to? Why can't he send whoever? You know, it doesn't make any... That's God's business. That's what I've been trying to say here. So before you want to eat my lunch about something, this is God's business. He do what he want to do. He sent Gabriel.
But the tendency of the human nature is to want
to
worship that.
Yeah.
And that's what happened then. So that's an area of caution that people should
always... If you really want to worship something in life, worship the holiness of God Almighty. Whoo, man, he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. So I'm not trying to build a statue to someone to do that. I'm just saying this. I want to honor not only your mother, who's alive, my mother, who's in heaven, but Jesus' mother, who is Mary. And it should be, and it's more than right. It is more than right. So, and then God does what he wants to do. And he don't have to explain it all to us. Sometimes I wish he would. But when we all get to heaven, we will have what I call full revelation. You won't have to ask God a question. The Bible said you'll know all.
You know, I've heard
that's a powerful statement.
So often when people, when they're really close to leaving from this earth to go into heaven, they start seeing people or hearing voices.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's almost like they get a glimpse into the supernatural or into the eternal, if you want to say it better that way. There's a lot of things I don't understand, but one day we'll understand it all. These things did happen in the Bible, but it always just comes down to the only one that we worship and honor
worship
is Jesus.
Him. He is the only Redeemer.
We respect those who have served him who honorably, like his mother, like the disciples. They weren't perfect, but Jesus was perfect.
Yes,
and that's who the one we
and
honor.
He can send whoever he wants to send at any given time he wants to. And that's just that simple. And you just have to say, but no, you don't worship an angel of the Lord. He'll tell you, don't you do that.
Well, even Paul said that, even he says, if there ain't, the Satan comes sometimes as an
angel of light.
So there are deceptions out there. There are wrong voices. So what you judge is if something is what is, does, how does it line up with the Word of God? They're not, no matter what, if God sends an angel or whatever, they only should speak what the Word of God says. And if it's different, then you know it's something false.
All I know,
have
God,
the discerning of spirits to know the difference.
All I know, God sends who He wants. He sent Moses and Elijah to talk to Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He sent an angel to strengthen Jesus.
Right.
You see, so He can do what He wants to do. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to call your mama on Mother's Day.
This is getting deep.
Be a blessing. Yeah, because I think it needs to be said. Well, because people sometimes look down on some of these biblical people. And you shouldn't. If God wants to send them, He can send who He wants. And I want you to call your mama if you can. Be a blessing to her. It'd be nice if you could take her out to dinner and just minister to her. And it will be a blessing. I hope you enjoyed today. I want to thank all our partners as we go off for your faithful financial support to this ministry. You know, Kathy's mother is a partner to our ministry. 94 years old and giving to this ministry. Isn't that a blessing of God? I love you to be a partner. We believe in God for 20,000 people to give $1,000. That's $20 million. What are you doing with that, Brother Jesse? We had two projects that are going to knock it all out. Wish you could save some of it, but we won't. But it's to reach people, change lives, one soul at a time. And God has been so good and gracious. Now, don't let those figures throw you. You can send a dollar, a $2. You can send $20 million. We believe in God for a $20 million chunk giver. Spend the $20 million and then replenish it according to Scripture. Bible said replenish things. I ask you to do your best. 100% goes in the world evangelism. None of it comes to me and Kathy. We're all taken care of. God has been so good and gracious. If you'd like to be a partner, you go to jdm.org, that's our website, and hit the donate button. You can use PayPal if you like, or you can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one if you want, or you can go to the free JDM app and select the giving you want there, or you can mail in a check, whatever you want to do. I hope you do something. It's all our partners that keeps this thing running and going, and me and Kathy are partners, you understand, to this mission. You're giving to yourself. No, we're not. Ask the IRS. No one owns a church. Remember that. You see what I'm saying? So when you understand that, I'm doing the same thing you're doing. I ask you to do your best so we can reach more people, change more lives, one soul at a time. And I know I'm over my time, but I'm going to say we're coming to Australia. Australia, get ready. Jesse and Kathy's coming. We're going to be preaching. If you want to know that schedule, you can go to our website and get there and find that. Also, there's so many things I'm going to be doing, Lord Jesus, and Kathy too, and it's going to be a blessing. But today is a special day to honor Mama. So do that and you'll be blessed. Jesse and Kathy saying we love you. Or let me say this, Jesse and Mama saying we love you.
Happy Mother's Day, Moms.
Happy Mother's Day. We'll see y'all soon. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.